Good day, evening. It's 6:32, Wednesday, 22nd of January. This is After School Special. This is your host, Maddie Munster from Dingley, Victoria, here on 3CR. And we kicked off the show tonight with Helena Handbasket, the new single from Kim Salmon's new project, Kim Salmon's Smoked Salmon. And joining us tonight, we've got a near full house. Marty Bolton from the Wednesday Breakfast Show is joining us. Marty, how are you, mate?
Very well, Matt. Thanks for the invitation to join you.
Absolute pleasure. Always great to see you. And also joining us, our special guest, the man himself, Kim Salmon. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. Thanks for asking.
Hello, Kim.
Yeah, hey guys.
Do you get that? You go on radio and people don't ask how you are? Or?
Yeah. No, they always ask how you are, but I just thought I'd say thanks for asking. I don't know. Chucked it in there.
Oh, good man. Well, we heard, we kicked off the show with Helena Handbasket, the new single from Kim Salmon Smoked Salmon.
No, you don't have to say Kim Salmon Smoked Salmon. If you look at it, the branding now, we've dropped the Kim Salmon's
just smoked salmon
apostrophe S thing. It's just... Just been spending the year at sort of establishing that, you know. There was a previous EP, which I showed you before, that's called Kim Salmon's Smoked Salmon.
Which I can see it.
Now, not great radio, but this is great artwork.
Yeah, correct.
Terrific on both the
single
and the forthcoming album.
It was sort of, I thought when I had some gigs coming up, I should do some kind of poster, and I was in full art mode then. I was actually doing an art residency, and thought, well, I'll set up to do a actual painting for a poster. So I did that, but then I kind of made a rod for my back because it's kind of like that's what I do, and that's the brand, and everything, including, you know, the album coming out is going to look similar. You'll know it's us.
Because I think I read that that was a bit of a COVID project for you, got back into painting.
It was more of a, that gave me the impetus to actually do it. I've been back in painting since about 2018 or even before that, but, painting or doing art's a big commitment. You've got to buy big canvases and a bit of an outlay, and you don't really want to waste paint, and it's a sort of, you look at it, it's daunting. It's like doing anything, really. So, you know, I never did anything more than in a sketchbook or on envelopes and tissue papers. But I sort of, that gave me the chance to really, actually, there was nothing else to do. So I have got back, It's basically, I have got back into painting, and, it seems to have worked out for me.
Well, speaking of COVID, before COVID hit, I saw you at the Tote with the Kim Salmon Trio. Am I right in saying that was where Smoked Salmon started?
Was it the Tote or...?
I'm pretty sure it was the Tote. It was you, Claire, and Doug on drums.
Moore, you mean? Or,
Claire Birchall.
Oh, Claire Birchall.
Yeah, and
okay.
she was one of the support acts as well.
Oh, okay. Maybe, I don't know. It really started at, for me, as far as I know, it was with the benefits for the Fireys around 2020. Everybody was doing them and I did it, and that seemed the obvious name to use, but it was, we had Claire Moore playing drums and Jeff Hooker, and I just decided I got sick of doing three-piece power trio things. It's kind of, it veers towards blues rock or something, you know, and I think that's not really what I'm about. So I thought, you know, don't worry about this, trying to be stingy about it. Let's get some extra players in. So I ended up with a band that has, you know, lots of vocals, keyboards, as well as guitars, and, you know, a bit more production going on. So that's kind of what Smoked Salmon had its, that genesis really was at the old bar. And then, but we could have done something. I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of gigs.
Now the name was crying out to be used at some point, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I've been avoiding it all my life. No longer.
With Smoked Salmon, like, as you said, it was a bit of a start off as a bit of a retrospective project, but was it always the end game to end up doing a new material, or was it just something that just came genetically?
Yeah, it just came genetically. Yeah, it was. I just found at a certain point, I had a song come to me. Basically, it was that song. How did they ever manage? I was just driving to Fitzroy Pool, and these lyrics sort of came to me. And when I was parking, I was sitting there thinking, how would I sing it? And I kind of sang it to myself, and then memoed them on my phone and sang a few things, and it was pretty obvious what the chords were, and I just finished writing it, and there it showed it to the band, and it really literally played itself. So I had a few instances of that, and I thought, well, I might as well write some more songs for this band rather than just make it, you know, doing my old stuff.
How often does that happen? Does a song come to you like that, in that way?
I'd like to say all the time, but what happened in this case was... It was funny, over COVID, I really didn't want to write any songs because everybody was writing about COVID and about isolation and using it as a metaphor. And I thought,
where's the fun?
Yeah, but I thought, bugger me if I'm going to use that as a metaphor for anything. It's, you know, yeah, where is the fun? I'm not interested in this. But one day a song literally ambushed me. I was walking away in my 5 kilometre radius and I don't know, it just... jumped out at me from behind a bush, and it was called self-replicator, because that's what a virus is. And I went and recorded it at Head Gap, we know, you know, and it was a project that I had. I thought, well, there's a pressing plant, it was Program Records, and that was sort of two blocks away from Head Gap, and I was like, you know, not far from Head Gap myself. It was all within that radius, and I thought, this would be a good thing, I could record Head Gap and then get it pressed over there. The only irony in all of that is that, of course, we transfer files these days via the internet, and which means they probably got to go to some, you know, cloud, which is probably really underground in Texas somewhere. So it's you know, it has to go around the world before it gets two blocks away. But I had that song on a single there, so I was sort of things were kind of, it's like if you don't have, you're trying not to do it, then they come to you. So once I got in the swing of doing more of these Smoked Salmon things, it got harder and harder. So by the end of the album, I was sort of booking myself time in a studio with the hope that I would go into the studio with complete songs, and when the reality was I was feverishly writing them the night before I went into the studio, coming up with vocal lines and rhyming couplets. So that's how it all ended up the other way, the opposite. I was really chasing around after the songs, but they were kind of coming at me to start with.
Because in COVID you did a live stream with the Surrealists, and that was mostly improv.
It was what wasn't improv was my lyrics. I was
okay.
I was jotting them down for years because the drummer had told me, "Oh, let's just do this. You know, let's go in and improvise a record." And because he comes from jazz, so I thought, "Yeah, you can do that." But you know, somebody's got to be able to sing lyrics, and you know, I don't know. I can't do that. I can't make lyrics up on the spot. You know, so I just thought, "Well, I'm going to jot down lyrics and." I've always kept these handbooks, these sort of journals full of lyrics, and I never use them. That's I've got decades of it. But I had them, I was ready. So when it happened in COVID, eventually I had the opportunity, and that's literally what happened was I'd get Stu mainly Stu would come up with a riff, or I'd have an idea that I'd throw at the other guys, and Phil, being, as I say, from jazz, he would make great stuff up and it would sound brilliant straight away, but Stu and I were just rock guys and it was a little harder for us, but I would once something was going, I would just feverishly flick through my books because I had a few of them and find, oh, I think I got something, and I'd find something and I'd basically shoehorn them in there. So there's a lot of spoken lyrics. There's a lot of lyrics that are kind of quite atonal coming up with lyrics is one thing, coming up with a melody is another. A few of the songs I had ideas for, which were I had little melodies that I'd kind of sing to myself when I was walking around the place in my 5 kilometer radius, so I'd then I'd basically just strum what I thought the chords would be, and Stu and Phil would sort of jump on it, and I'd be singing away, and lo and behold, there was a song.
It's a fairly challenging project to take on. I remember you saying to me a couple of years ago after doing that the silence after when you stopped and the silence sort of hit you, and it was like you'd gone out into space.
Yeah, it was scary.
Yeah.
It was
like,
No one could hear us screaming.
But you're actually quite happy with the way it turned out.
Oh, I thought it was great. Yeah. I didn't like it, as you know, the engineer said, "Oh man, that's really great. Nobody's done anything like that before. I think it's really good." And my partner, she was saying, "Yeah, it's really good. It's really great." And I said, "No, that's crap. I don't want to know about it." And we were able to access it that night, and I listened to it and thought, "This is damn good."
It's beautiful.
I was really shocked at how it worked out. So all of the fear that I had melted away, and I thought, "Oh, this is great." I was really looking forward to the next day going in there, because we did it in two sessions, and the second one was going to be, okay, it's going to be a breeze, and we've done them the day before, so we can remember what we played yesterday. And then I got a call from my son's work, and he'd gotten a scuffle there, and it was really heavy, and the boss wanted me to go and sort it out. But
blimey.
I was really, like, it put my nerves back. Anyway, Maxie went and sorted it out for me. She phoned up my son and the boss, and it was all kind of
smooth
okay.
Smooth things over?
Yep. Yeah, nice. Yeah. I was just worried for him, you know. I thought, oh, God, what's happened here? Somebody wanted a piece of him. And it was a bit of a nasty scene going on there. So that was like, but then I was scared again. I was, you know, went into the next session. I probably needed to have those nerves.
But normal again. That was part of Leaps and Bounds, wasn't it? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
sort of right project for the time, wasn't it, during lockdown?
Very much so, yeah. It was our booker, Sean, did help me with a grant for it, and we did a real big fundraising thing as well. It was really quite a, it was a thing of the time, you know. People got into the spirit of it, and it was like about 7,000 people. You know,
internationally, yeah.
Yeah, it was really happening.
Let's play another track. We'll play another Smoke Salmon song. We kick off the show with the latest single, Hell and Harbus, but we'll go back to the first single, How Do They Ever Manage, which you mentioned before. Will both these tracks be on the new album?
They will be on the album, but the B-sides won't be.
Oh, so yes. Make sure you get the records.
And we got another single coming out in about a week too.
Oh, beautiful.
And with its own B-side. Well, actually, it'll only be digital, so it doesn't need a B-side. So, but there's, I think we've got about 12 tracks on the album, and we made a point of having different ones for the B-sides.
Beautiful, make more collector's items.
Yeah.
Here's How Did They Ever Manage? You're on 3CR.
Got down the street. Stupid. good news was, give me the worst, give me the bad news first. Took all the money. The good news was, you got some punches in. The driver wanted to go to the police. We got another cab. It was 8 a.m. Our flight was at 10. We got through all the traffic. Got through all the lights. We couldn't believe our luck. We walked right down that gangway. We walked up to the steward to let us in. And he stopped me right there. He told me, sir, you've been drinking. I can't let you board this plane. It's stupid.
Welcome back to After School Session here on 3CR. This is Matty Munster. Joining me for the whole hour is Marty Bolton and Kim Salmon. And we just heard the new the first Smoke Salmon 7-inch. We heard How Do They Ever Manage, and then the B-side Slider Street. And I've got to say, Kim, after all these years, your voice still sounds amazing. It's so intact.
Is there a Well, it was that, you know, I hadn't really been singing all day. I'm wondering if I could go in now and feel that way. It's after all this talking... thank you. I should learn to take a compliment.
Well, we're going to play a bit of a Beast double shot. We're going to play the Beast and then followed by Beast Suburban. Marty requested these two tracks from the new record Ultimo, Everything's a Lie. Any reason why you picked this one, Marty?
I just thought this was a classic sounding Beast song. Real swaggering, classic guitar crunching song, sort of sits mid album, and I think it's a beauty. Yeah, real good slice of Beasts.
Yeah,
and I think Kim, you're singing.
I thought I was doing a guide vocal for Tex.
All right.
He said, "Well, he sort of sent his ideas when in the flurry of when we were the few days before we were going in to make this record." And he loves sending off demos, and it was the bit that what he sent was all of the Everything's a Lie, and I thought, there's not enough going on here. It needs some more rapid fire stuff. And I was driving to work. This is when I still worked. I've got my pension now, so I'm kind of that was, you know, it's all happened in the last few months, but it doesn't matter now. But when I was off going to work, driving over to South Melbourne, I was just thinking to myself, what would you sing? And it came to me, and I was just singing this sort of he's talking about lies and conspiracy theories, and I thought, and cookers. I thought, everybody's cooking. So if that came, looking rhymes with that. It was just like, it came to me straight away. And then we're in the bloody studio, and I've got some things scrawled out in front of me. Literally, this is the way that whole session went, was I was quite often in there explaining to James, you know, he's usually got about two sort of beats that he does.
Yeah.
And then, well, this one I'm thinking, I'm imagining Memo for Turner, you know that? And he says, yeah, yeah, I got that. Okay, right, we'll do Memo for Turner. And here's how it goes. And it was literally like a first take. And right. I just thought that was the text, you're going to learn that. And here we go. And he sort of says, you know, we have a meeting with him months later, and he says, oh, well, I say, well, okay, that's good, but when are you going to put your vocal down? He said, oh, no, you're singing that. I've sort of just done, you know, I've eased my way in halfway through the song, you know, and there's a bit of history. We both sang on Something to Lean On, and there was another song on the album where it's sort of like, I thought, also a guide vocal. There was a few that I did guides for Tex to do, like The Ballad of Rock and Roll was another one. And so, you know, I was doing a lot of guide vocals that day.
Yeah, but it sort of harks back to that sort of late 80s sort of beast sort of sound, that twin guitar attack.
I think it does, but I think this album's a bit of a game changer, which I'm really pleased about, because I feel like there was the first album, X-Men's Jazz, and then along comes Sour Mash, which was really completely out of the box. Mm. That was a real game changer. Mm. And then a couple of years later, we did Low Road with my cronies from the Surrealists in there.
Yep.
And it was once again a game changer. But I don't think right up until Beast's Still Here, it's a good format, but I don't kind of think that they've ever really changed. To me, it's this sort of real badass version of the Beasts. And they've done that. And even on Beast Still Here, it's sort of, that's the sound to me.
Yeah,
that's just my perception, of course. Other people,
I just think they're all, each album is very distinctive in its own way,
probably, but
yeah, of a time.
I kind of think that, yeah, maybe, but when I hear The Low Road, I sort of hear those ones that after I left were kind of in a very similar mold to that. And so there was Gone and there was Little Animals. They sound very, to me, of that same sort of style. And same with that, but like I say, that's just me. But this one really changes that whole sort of plan and sound. And it was kind of really, that's really cool.
Well, from the new Beast album, Ultimo, this is Everything's a Lie, you know, 3CR.
No.
Well, you're right, that really is a long fade out. Welcome back to Optical Session here on 3CR. This is Matty Munster here. It is now 7:06. My guests tonight are Kim Salmon and Marty Bolton. It's not Tuesday or Thursday, but what the hell, we're going to do a double shot anyway. And we just heard The Beast with Everything's a Lie off the new record, Ultimo. And after that, we heard Bad Revisited from the 99 release Black Milk on Red Eye Records. Marty, that was a track you requested.
Yes, and always nice to hear that song. And a little slice from The Beast. Well, they were only 6 years after the... Oh, hang on. Yeah, 6 years after the first record, Axeman's Jazz.
Yeah, that was Spencer's answer to a scientist's track off the Human Jukebox called A Place Called Bad.
Okay.
And but he was in, we were touring in Germany and he saw the word bad in a sign post... I can't remember what, maybe Heidelberg or somewhere. But Bad was, and it meant bath. It meant the baths. He just thought it was funny because it was called Bad, and there's a place called Bad, so he called it Bad Revisited. And he had this, what he fancied was a Zeppelin riff. He kind of thought that was a sort of funny, weird Zeppelin chords. So that's the story of that song.
It's distinct. It's very distinctive.
Those are vocals from Tex then. Is that him burping? Or?
Sounds like he's burping, doesn't it? I've never even heard that.
I've never noticed that before either until just now, actually.
He's just singing very low.
So that's the first track there from the new album Ultimo, which is out now.
Yeah.
And that was created after the band got back together for a couple of shows in 2023, yes?
Yeah, Tex had the bright idea, let's make a record. And I was busy making my own record and was really hardly anything in the tank for that one. So I managed to do, I had to come up with some more stuff. So this is what happens. You got to kind of make hay while the sun shines. And
well, you had everyone back together, for those shows.
Yeah, well, it was at the end of the tour. James was still sticking around. He wanted to do it. Initially, Tex, we went looking for a studio. We found, well, I think he'd worked there before, Roger Bergadaz from, I think that's Fat Rubber Band. I think he's in that. He's got a studio. He found that was a good price. I suggested that we needed 2 days instead of one.
Two whole days.
Two whole days.
Wow, and double time.
Actually,
one more day than it took to do Axeman's Jazz.
One more than it took. That's what I think he was thinking. We could do. We did it before.
Do it again.
We can do it again. So I thought, well, here's. Yeah. I actually flung him some money that you can. Let's do another day, please. We spent the whole 2 days making that record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I think that bore me out. It was right.
And as you said before, another chapter in the Beast's history, and different take on how you can do it.
Yeah, I think so. I really like it. It's to me, a real game changer.
And it comes with a live album from the same period.
Oh yes, that's right. It's That's what was going to happen was we did that tour last year. I think we did some shows the year before as well, and Tex got very excited about the recordings from those live shows, and we were listening to them. I don't know, he was sending tracks to us to have a listen to, and we got quite excited that there was a lot of material for an album, and wanted a name for it. I don't know. I just thought, Beasts Alive. Why don't we call it that? and he said, like that other greatest live album, Kiss Alive. And I said, yeah, that's right. In the end, it was like we had this other record, and we thought, well, let's just make it a bonus disc then.
Right.
We'd already used a bunch of the tracks to make an EP. Originally we were just going to do this other, put out the other live album. That was originally.
Right.
But we ended up making a new record.
Well, the live album itself is interesting because it reflects those shows, which featured a lot of early songs from the early days, covers.
There was a lot of talk on social media that, what do they turn into, a covers band? And it was like, well, that's what that's how, when the band first got together, it was just, what do we know? I mean, it was, we've got this Alice Cooper song, here's a Stooges song, here's a New York Dolls song, you know, and Tex had a couple of his own. And by the time we went in to do X-Men's Jazz, there's still a few covers on that. So, people just didn't get it, really.
Graveyard Train.
Yeah, Graveyard Train. John Fogerty. It's probably Psycho, you know. It was sort of, we didn't really care about that stuff, really.
Well, that's what I liked, actually, about those shows, because it was a little glimpse into the past of how the band, where you kind of started.
It was very true, very true to the old days, actually, to the original days. That's what it was like. So those songs, what's that one? Good Times. We were always doing that. I don't know if that, I think that's somewhere on one of those recordings.
I think it is,
It's on the EP, I think. But anyway, these are things that's what we did. That was our repertoire. So I guess, you know, that's a bit of, it's a bit of a glimpse into the past. For those people that don't know about it, which is evidently quite a few.
Well, I got to admit on that same, I guess on a similar thought, like I listened to Spence B. Jones before I got into the Beast of Bourbon, so songs like Execution Day and Thanks, I was actually surprised to find out they were actually originally Beast tracks. So,
oh, right. Yeah. It was Thanks a Beast track?
It was on Little Animals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry, what the album that Kim wasn't on, sorry.
Well, I have heard it. I forgot about that one.
Well, that's a good point, actually. It's a fascinating part of the history of the band, isn't it? That it's had members come and go, and we look at and we've lost members, of course. And the band that's going to play a couple of shows next month is another representation of the Beasts.
It's another iteration.
Iteration, absolutely.
Yes,
yeah.
I think I was flattered when I left the band and Charlie Owen took over, because I thought, well, he's the best guitarist in the country. Yeah. did they think I was that good or something? Because he's amazing, God. So I took that as a compliment, but
cool.
But then when we were playing back together, of course, Charlie's playing essentially my role and I'm kind of taking over Spencer's role.
Yeah.
It's a funny sort of...
It is. It's a funny situation. The way it's changed and morphed over the years.
It didn't really... It wasn't... Yeah. It has completely changed each time.
Well, let's play a request that I chose. I'm going to play a track from Kim Salmon and the guys from Mudhoney. This is a track called License. How did this come about?
Oh, God, yeah, there's a story for everything, isn't there? Surrealists were trying to get a tour happening in the States in US, around 95, 6. And our manager, Michelle Vlazimski, we had a US manager back in those days, who lived in Hollywood, would you believe? She she was really good mates with Mudhoney and was... This was her plan, that we were going to support Mudhoney nationally. And I was mates with Mudhoney as well, so I thought, let's do it. And it was sort of forever going to happen, but they kept on canning it. And I rang up Mark and said, what's going on, man? What's the deal? You know, we want to come over and, you know, support you guys. And he said, it was Steve. I think Steve had been was a bit over it. And I said, so he wanted to leave. So I said, oh, well, I'll take his place. then we can support you. And we can support you and I'll be in there as well. So, and like a week later, I was just kidding. And a week later, of course, Mark calls me up.
This is Steve Turner, of course, the guitarist in Mudhoney.
Yeah. Mark calls me back and said, were you serious? And I was like, yes, I was. And they sent me some money and flew me over to see if we could make a record in much the same way as that Beast record was done. And I went into a flurry of writing, really went nuts for it. That's one of the tunes I came up with, but we were jamming and stuff was happening. And I thought, you know, it was, you don't get a chance like this. I thought, well, you know, big record companies are here. Money's going to get thrown at this, and my songwriting, I'm going to really. So I went nuts writing, and we ended up with this an album's worth of stuff. And then I think within a week of that, and all me flying back, of course, Steve obviously.
Showed up.
He showed up, and that kind of got canned.
Change of mind.
Yeah, so it got shelved until years later, and that's why it's called Until.
I see. Well, from the album Until, Kim Sam and the guys from Mudhoney, this is License. You're on 3CR. Welcome back to After School Session here on 3CR. This is Matty Munster with Kim Salmon and Marty Bolton. It's now 7:20. We're on the home stretch of the show. Just quickly, I just want to give a few quick plugs. Digger and the Pussycats and Spinning Chips, St Kilda Bowls Club this coming Sunday from 5:30, presented by Munster Time, Zine and AHA Productions. Also, Fred Negro's got an exhibition at 378 St Kilda Road, All Australia Day, Invasion Day weekend. So get down to that, get some art. We just heard Kim Salmon and the guys from Mudhoney with License. Was it 95 that, 96 you guys recorded that?
Yeah, 96.
And it was like 2011 that Bang put it out.
Something like that, yeah. I'm not that great for dates.
What did that mean? Because, I mean, because you'd been around for almost 20 years at that point, so I guess like the next generation all of a sudden looking at you as this this idol.
I don't. No comment.
Come on. Well, Steve refers to it in the book, in his book, his recent book.
Oh, right. Talks
about the influence of the scientists, of yourself, on them. When they were a young man.
I would read it. He's a lovely guy, and I think he'd write a good book, but of course I'm trying to read proper books, proper literature, and they keep getting these rock biographies, you know, and you kind of, okay, yes, that's not really...
He talks about skating quite a bit. He's a bit of a skater, apparently.
Really?
I gleaned from his book.
All that generation that are 20 years younger than me, they all are. So I had a bit of a skating thing, but it all ended up with me going down the tallest hill in Bunbury in front of all of my family and then kind of getting flung off it onto and my chest landing on some Besser bricks on the way down and didn't need any stitches, but I was like, I kind of picked myself up off the ground, you know, broken limbs and everything, but thought, I'm all right, Mum. I'm all right. Grandma, I'm all right. And then staggered off, realizing I wasn't all right. But that was my skateboarding career. But I was about 12.
But the influence does. I'll go into it for you. The influence does stretch far and wide, doesn't it, Matty Munster?
Absolutely.
Locally and internationally.
Wasn't there a photo of Kurt Cobain wearing a Scientist shirt?
I've heard this story, but I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
I've just heard this.
Well, I mean, you know, like, I mean, the band you're playing in now, Smoke Salmon, I mean, people like Claire Birchall, who's sort of the next generation, is playing with you alongside. So absolutely, you know, in terms of overseas, I mean, people like you, Spence and all that, are treated like gods in Europe. So that's what...
Gareth Lydiard.
Yeah, like my friend Martin, who was on the show the other week, he says the same thing, so...
Gareth wanted to get the band for the All Tomorrow's Party, he requested to get the Beasts.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. 2013. He programmed us for that 2013 thing. Yes, I remember. So good on him. Yes.
Great shows too.
Yes, more of it. Yes, being gods, it's okay. If it gets us gigs.
Well, one of my favourite ones, me and Marty were at the I'm Flipped Out of You Festival, was the original Scientist lineup back together. That was a great show.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just trying to think of this. Oh, right.
That was at the Corn Hotel.
Okay.
Original Scientist Dubrovnik's hits.
Oh, yes. Now I remember it. It was the original Scientist.
Yes.
That's right, and hits. I remember it all now. This all comes back to the
There's
point.
Another great band, too many, James
I've
Baker.
I've done too many gigs.
And James in the Dubrovniks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And speaking of artwork earlier, James's artwork appears on the new Ultimo record.
Yeah, I know. He's wanting to get in on my game there. That was Tex saw it at his place and thought, this is perfect. There's a story of the album. I don't know, is that in the press release? He was circulating a text. Saying that, I had this dream where we had this album. We'd just done an album, and it was called Ultimo, and we had James's picture on it. And I thought, why not? What do you think, guys? And I said, well, if it came to you in a dream, I would always say yes, go with that.
So we've got Kim Salmon and James Baker doing. Is you the only two Beasts that have actually done Beasts of Bourbon covers?
Oh, God, you're just really throwing them at me here. In actual fact, let's look at this. Dropout is actually a Scientist cover.
Okay.
So, you know.
Oh, sorry, I meant the covers, the...
covers. I'm totally going.
I like where you're going with this, though.
I'll say that, because it was originally Smoke Salmon play Dropout as a Beasts cover, but it's really us covering Beasts, covering the Scientists. But yes. Perkins has done... He used to be a bit of a graphic designer, you know, or sign writer and... He's quite a good caricature artist back in the day. There's this really cute picture of the Scientists he did on a wall down in Williamstown when we were filming Blood Red River. That's you can probably find somewhere on the internet somewhere.
It'll be around
A real good caricature. So he's done a bit. I think a cover of Black Milk. I think that lettering.
Okay,
That's all his. He was quite artistic then. I think he said, you know, use it or you'll lose it, alluding to the fact that he hasn't done much of that anymore. But the lettering of Ultimo, I think, is his. Yes, that looks like his writing.
Now that some of those new songs can be heard when the Beasts are playing back at the Corner on February 21, where I first saw the Beasts 40 years ago. I think he might not have been actually on stage that night. I think maybe Stu Spasm was on a brief period, a brief stint in the band.
Yes,
it was about 85 or 86.
Yes, that's right.
It's 40 years ago.
Like Smoked Salmon. Let's bring it back to Smoked Salmon. It has the floating lineup. You don't know what you're going to get.
So that one, just clarifying that one, that is, Feb 21 at the Corn. You're also playing up in Sydney?
Yes, at Manning Bar.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Smoked Salmon, you've got about 15 dates coming up?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, we got a date on Friday as well.
Oh. It's coming Friday.
Yeah, but it's in Castlemaine and it's all sold out, so I don't need to do it. It's with the Hard Quartet.
Oh, okay.
Who are good mates of mine, or at least two of them are. I'm going to meet the other two.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes, I've just recently heard that.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to... it's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
I'll be 68, would you believe? Oh,
really?
Yeah, that's what I'm calling it, my 68 comeback. I will come back from the dead then.
Now, that's with just the guitarist's name's escaping me in Hard Quartet.
We got Matt Sweeney.
Matt Sweeney, yeah.
Yes, and we got...
Who briefly played in Endless Boogie.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Okay, yeah. There's his pedigree. I knew the name, but I thought he was more of a YouTube star.
Oh, no. But
We got Emmett Kelly, who actually booked the Scientists for the USA. But he also plays with Ty Siegel and Bonnie Prince Billy, and he's got his own thing called the Cairo Gang, and he's also in the double with Jim White, another member of the Hard Quartet.
Mm.
And then they've got this ring-in called Steve Malkmus, who I believe used to play in a band called Pavement.
Yeah, sort of thing, yeah. Oh, terrific.
Claire Birchall is really totally nuts about, you know, so it's as in fan of. So, it's going to be fantastic.
So... The lineup, the Smoked Salmon lineup for that show.
That's our usual of Melbourne, the Melbourne chapter, it's called.
And that's Claire
Doug. And Jeff. And Doug, Claire, Jeff, and me, of course.
Beautiful. And the new album's out on Feb 9th on Cheer Squad.
Feb 9th, is it? Excellent.
Yeah, I believe that was from the press release Dave sent to me. And Dave, if you're listening, Dave and Kelly, thanks for teeing up Kim tonight. And Feb 9th, and of course the date's coming up, so I check the website. Is there a Facebook page we can check?
Look at mine, I guess. There's the one that's got the fish eyes on.
Oh, yeah, another one, yeah.
I think there's a Kim Salmon official Facebook page as well, which is actually just an offshoot of that Doug kind of handles. So that's good. Yeah, that's it'll be on that.
Beautiful. Well, we're about to wrap the show. We've got about 40 seconds to go, but I had a playlist tonight, but I've really enjoyed the chat. So, Kim, thanks for coming on tonight. Really appreciate you taking time.
Oh, thanks for having me. Been a pleasure.
And Marty, thanks for coming on. I wish I spoke as well as you did, Marty.
It's been a pleasure, Matt. And Kim, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again for everyone listening out there, whether you're listening live or on demand. A big shout out to Mum and Dad. Hope you enjoy the show. We got one more week of After School Session next week. Paulie P might be joining us on the show next week. I'll be back on Planet X the first Thursday in February night. Hope you enjoy the show tonight. Thanks to Inez, thanks to Michelle, and thanks to everyone at 3CR for all the support. I'll talk to you next week. Have a good one. On ya.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.